chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm delighted to have Crystal Crump on the show today. Crystal is a senior business development representative at LaunchCode. So Crystal Crump, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I'm so delighted to have you here with me today. Thank you so much for even like you're at a conference right now and you're finding a room somewhere to record this. So thank you so much for making the time and I'm excited to have you on.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It is so fitting it being St. Louis Tech Week and having so many exciting tech-related events happening around town. I am thrilled to be here with you this afternoon and also be at a tech conference supporting women in the communications and technology industry.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk a lot about tech. You and I saw each other last year at the Top Workplaces. Do you remember that? We saw each other at St. Louis City Soccer at the stadium. And we said, you know what? We need to get together.
Oh my gosh.
We need to do lunch. We need to get together. You and I were finally able to make that happen with our crazy schedules, Crystal. And I was so moved by your story. I said, Crystal, I really want you to come on the Something Extra podcast. I want people to be able to learn from you. So that's, you know, how it all came about. And again, I'm just so delighted to have you here with me today. But tell me, let's go back to when you were a little girl. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell me a little bit about how you grew up.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, I am born and raised in St. Louis. I grew up in Richmond Heights, and so if you're familiar with St. Louis communities, I grew up there. Pretty diverse community, I'd say. And then for high school a little bit later, my family moved to University City, where I was exposed to even more diversity. It's a great place to raise a family, great location, another suburb or like inner part of St. Louis, and just kind of how it's broken up. And so, yeah, I, for a long time, have been in St. Louis in different regions. And yeah, so.
Well, you know, that's the question, right? In St. Louis, the question, where did you go to high school? Where did you go to school? So thank you for going on and answering that. Yeah, because I'm from Kentucky. And when we moved here, I'm like, you know, I can tell you where I went to high school, but I don't think you would know because, you know, it's in Kentucky. But tell me what you like to do.
Yeah, that is definitely a St. Louis question.
It's a St. Louis question. It is. What'd you like to do as a little girl?
Oh, read. I just love to read and be outdoors and being in nature, riding my bike. I still enjoy biking and hiking and like doing the similar things, reading, one of my favorite activities. And so hanging out with friends, listening to music, still things I enjoy to this day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Have you ever done the multiple score, the MS ride, or do you do any of those kind of long distance rides or more, is it more for leisure?
Yeah, it's more leisure. I haven't got into like long distance riding. But I maybe one day I see people all often, and doing the long distance riding. But yeah, I
Yeah.
have not gotten into that.
I have not either. Mine's more for leisure. Now I have a friend that rides 70 to 80 miles every day. And I'm just like, wow,
Wow.
that's commitment, right?
Wow.
But I'm with you. I love just to get out on the Katy Trail and it's just fun. I love riding the bike. But now, and you still read to this day, you still love to read, Crystal?
Oh yeah. I absolutely love to read when I have time. I have so many books by the nightstand or, books that I've started. I have a goal to at least read 2 to 3 books a month. When I have time, though, I'm a busy mom and working full time, and then helping with my kids in their schools and just different things. And so, when
It
time allows.
yes, I get it. Well, Crystal, here's one of the many things that I was so moved by your story. When we spoke, I mean, you were a teen mom, and I love just to talk about that a little bit. I'm sure back then you felt lots of different emotions, maybe even looked at a couple of options, but the option you chose was to keep your baby. And the thing that I was
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
yeah, the thing I was so struck about, really though, Crystal, you said, I think it was your mom even that said, you're like, well, what do I do now? And your mom said, there's this EMS coordinator role over at Missouri Baptist. Maybe look at that. And, so I look at you and I think you used your grit and your resilience and you didn't know anything about that, but you really got in there and you said, I am going to take this opportunity and I'm going to learn as much as I can. And that really kind of started your journey for your career. And you've done lots of things since then that
Yeah.
we'll talk about.
Oh my gosh, Lisa. Yes. Yeah. So being a teen mom absolutely changed the trajectory of my life. Being a teen mom, I had my son depending on me to take care of him. And so, like you mentioned, my mom worked at the hospital and she said, there's lots of openings here. Maybe you should consider. And I said, oh yeah, I think, I never considered healthcare, but that is a good idea. And so I actually started in dietary at the hospital and working in a small restaurant. And I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. And working in the restaurant, I got a chance to meet lots of the administrators and employees and family members that were there visiting loved ones and got to just understand more about the hospital environment. And connect with patients and visitors and just connecting with people. And it was like, wow, I didn't know that all of the opportunities were available here at the hospital. And so I worked in that role for 1 year before moving on to another job. There are so many opportunities and avenues and pathways in healthcare. And so I stayed in the hospital for 14 years. And like you mentioned, my last role was EMS coordinator, which gave me an opportunity to work with pre-hospital providers and really build relationships between the hospital and pre-hospital and ambulance and EMS and EMTs. It was so interesting just to understand how they would call into the hospital and get at medical advice or connect with doctors or just alert us that patients were coming in and not I'm not I don't have a healthcare background, but I just absolutely love just diving in and learning everything I can and being in the environment. Is there something about being in the environment and working with people that want to want you to learn and grow? And so it was an incredible opportunity, and I did that for I was in that role for 7 years. Really proud of the work that I accomplished along with the ER staff and the ER physicians and the hospital and the ambulance services that we worked with.
Well, and I think, I mean, Crystal, the point that I really want to make here, number one, you're curious. I mean, you told me you love to read as a little girl. You're still reading now. You've got a curious mindset. And so you went into that with this mentality of,
of curiosity and wanting to learn, being teachable, all of those things, right? So I think about that time that you were there, you probably really discovered a lot about yourself because you're still young, you know, at that point, you discovered what you were good at, you discovered what you really enjoyed doing, and then you decided to go and get a bachelor's in organizational leadership. And it was probably just because of the time that you had spent there and what you had learned.
Yes, working in a hospital environment, there were so many pathways. And what I saw is that you have to be curious. You have to, you know, go for the opportunities. You may not always have the qualifications, but continuing to work at it and having a growth mindset. And also not allowing, things to hold you back. So, yes, I was a teen mom and, you know, just looking for direction in my life. I believe that all things happen for a reason. And so for me to be with the hospital system, there were a number of programs and collaborations with local universities where you could be a working adult and working towards your bachelor's degree at the same time. And so I was like, there's another opportunity and I can learn and grow while working and, continue to build my education while working. And so just there's so many opportunities and just being open and having that growth mindset.
That's good. That's really good advice. Well, I know that we've talked a lot about your mom and just how supportive she was and is of you, Crystal. But can you really discuss the importance of support systems and how have support systems and mentoring been instrumental in your journey?
Oh, my gosh, Lisa. Yes. So thankfully, my mom has been my biggest supporter. She still is to this day. But just having, like I mentioned, being a young mom, there's lots to figure out and things to navigate. And so having my mom to help raise my child, get him off to a good start and support me while I'm trying to work and, building my career. It's so important to have mentorship and I had a mentor at the hospital that told me how one key piece of advice was to invest in myself and not just let things kind of go and in a happenstance sort of way. So being intentional and making time to, map out my career goals and paths and, shoot for the stars and keep learning and growing. It was one key piece of advice that I received early on in career that has stuck with me. And I am intentional to this day about investing in myself, but also investing in others because of what has been poured into me.
Yes. I know that. And I think probably your experiences, Crystal, probably have shaped a lot of what you're doing today and why you do what you do today, which we're going to talk about. But, how are you advocating? Are you doing anything to advocate for teen moms now in building awareness to others about their needs? Are you doing anything in that space?
I am not. However, I know that the teens and the youth in our city really need support and direction. And so I'm actually looking for opportunities to get more involved with the youth. I've heard a lot about different programs, career pathways, and accelerators and those sorts of programs that are available. So I am looking to get more involved with teen mentorship, workforce development, career exploration, those sorts of programs.
That's great. Yeah, there may be a listener, Crystal, that calls you after this podcast launches because they're looking for you, right? You're looking for them and they're looking for you. Mm-hmm. So tell me, what really motivated you or what was the precipice for you wanting to get this degree in organizational leadership? Where did you see that taking you? And I'd love to know, in your own words, how that education has really impacted you. Because I do believe education is the key, really, to us being able to move forward, right? And education in many different ways. It's not necessarily just a bachelor's. And we'll talk a lot about what you're doing today. And that's education too. But sure. You know, why did you choose that, and how do you think it's really impacted you on your journey?
So working in healthcare, there are a couple different, there's so many career paths, and bedside nursing care is amazing, and it takes a really special person. But my particular strength is more on the administrative side. And so I've aspired to, early on in career, it's like, oh man, I want to be a healthcare executive, a healthcare administrator, and really help bring quality healthcare to communities that are where it's lacking, and help improve from a more leadership, executive leadership aspect, to bring the services and healthcare providers to regions in our city that just, you know, I felt like could use that sort of guidance. And so it was a big part of me choosing to take a healthcare administration degree path with a goal to become the hospital administrator or healthcare administrator over a clinic. So yeah, that was kind of a driving reason behind that.
Awesome. Well, you know what? I really want to move into what you're doing today, because there's a lot there. You know, you are, you just got a title change. And
yes,
you just got, you've been a couple of different things at the place that you're at. You're at Launch Code right now, which was launched in 2013. But what are you doing there right now? And then I really want, because there may be listeners, and we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and really talk about what Launch Code is doing and the mission of Launch Code, because a lot of our listeners may not know.
Sure. So at Launch Code, I've been with Launch Code for 6 years. My new title is Senior Business Development Representative. In my role, in my background, I've had relationship management, program management, consultation. And so in my role now, I am a trusted talent advisor, helping company partners and career people that are seeking careers in technology to connect and launch new careers in technology.
Yes, very good. Well, okay, so that's our little appetizer for our listeners. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back, and we're going to tell you a lot more about this program because they're doing amazing things.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast, everyone, with Crystal Crump. So Crystal, we have listeners that listen from all over the world. So if people are in St. Louis, they may know about Launch Code, but there are probably listeners that have never even heard of Launch Code. So tell me more about Launch Code. What does it do? I know it's a nonprofit that's really helping people. And you already kind of said launching a career in tech, but tell me more about Launch Code and how it works.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So Launch Code's mission is to create pathways for driven people seeking careers in technology. We recruit, educate, and place non-traditional individuals that are seeking opportunities, provide an accelerated boot camp training style, and offer in-demand modern technology skills, career readiness, and job placement services to help those individuals get connected and launch careers in technology.
Mm-hmm. So how long is the program? Tell me a little bit more about the logistics of the program. Where do the students actually go in somewhere? Is it online? Tell me about how long the program is.
Sure. So in less than a year, you can go from zero coding technology background to being job ready and actually in a job. So there are the primary program that Launch Code offers is about 8 to 9 months. It's part-time, designed for working adults to be able to work during the day and come to class in the evening. It's about 20 hours of coursework a week. So it's a part-time almost a part-time job. It is a pretty intensive program, but mm-hmm. you'll go again from the foundations of coding and programming all the way to being job ready and being able to utilize your skills, your tech skills, on the job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In less than a year.
So, Crystal, you know, what is the process for applying and vetting candidates? Because I'm sure you have a lot of people wanting to be a part of it, but you do have to take people through a process, right, to make sure that they've got the agility and, you know, the yes. what it takes to learn what you're yes. teaching.
Yes, so there is a process. There are a number of individuals that are applying and seeking opportunities in technology to get the education and to have the opportunity to launch a career in tech. So there is an application. There are a few essay questions that we ask individuals to respond to, and then a problem solving, critical thinking, logic assessment is also part of the application process. And so we want to be intentional and opening up doors of opportunity for people that are seeking these opportunities. There are no barriers to entry. Launch Code is a free program, so it doesn't cost participants anything. And we want also to diversify our workforce. It is really important to reduce barriers. So not everyone has the means to pay for an expensive boot camp to get trained up and skilled or obtain a 4-year computer science degree. So with an accelerated program like Launch Code, you can get the skills, training, build a project, get job interview training and coaching, and, you know, get, again, launch a career in less than a year.
Yeah. It's a pathway to get your foot in the door, Crystal. And then once your foot is in the door, then other magic can happen, right? But you've got to get that For sure. First chance. And I love that you are providing the accessibility for all people. So I just love that. I went back and looked at some of the testimonies and listened to some of the testimonies for Launch Code, and Mark Bernstein with Balto, he's also been a Something Extra podcast guest. He said that he's hired 100% of his apprentices from wow. Launch Code that, you know, yeah. is now working for him. Here's another one. It was hard. This is a testimonial. It was really hard, but it was so worth it. And it's accelerated. So expect, I mean, it's going to be fast and furious, right? For that 9-month period.
Oh yeah, it is definitely a challenge. It is, you know, you have to have the grit to stick with it and the time. That's another factor that we look at when considering applications. Do you have the time to commit to this? And do you have support? Because there will be, you know, you need that support system if you're just depending on other things that you have going on, and making sure that we set real expectations with what it's going to take to actually get through the program. We want everyone to be successful and have clear understanding of the time commitment and grit that you'll need to get through the program.
Right. Here's what somebody else said. Do it scared. Because it is scary. I mean, you may have been doing something totally different, no exposure to tech at all. And so, you know, it is a little scary. So do it scared. Here's somebody else that said, don't overthink it. Just jump in. Here's another beautiful testimonial that I loved. Going through Launch Code is one of the best things that has ever happened to me in my life.
Wow. Yeah, we hear those stories often. Like you mentioned, Launch Code was started in 2013. We recently celebrated our 10-year anniversary. We've educated upwards of 10,000 people and helped launch nearly 7,000 careers in that 10 years. And so it is really transformational to go through the program, to accomplish, you know, getting through the program and also getting a job where many people may have never thought that a career in technology was, you know, attainable. It absolutely is. And I just love being a part of that and being a part of individuals' journeys and going out and helping to promote the program, the job opportunities, and connecting employer partners and candidates or learners in the program with these really awesome opportunities. It's life-changing.
Mm-hmm. I I can only imagine the gratification that gives you to work in that kind of environment, Crystal. So, you know, the thing that I really want our people to know, to our listeners, they're not just teaching the tech skills. It's the whole package with you guys. You're teaching the soft skills. Probably need to tell you more about this, Crystal, but we launched a technology leadership experience in 2019 for mid-market, for mid-level professionals. And in that, we're not teaching them how to program in Python or Java. It's really teaching them the human side of technology and how to be a leader, lead change, that sort of thing. And you guys are doing exactly the same thing. So it's both. How important are the soft skills, Crystal?
Oh, professional skills are really important. So LaunchCode, like you said, we teach the hard technical skills and helping individuals understand the back end and the front end and how things connect. But there's also just communication and collaboration and transferable skills that LaunchCoders have, because typically these are people in our programs are career changers that are pivoting from other industries and backgrounds. We have a number of people that are maybe baristas or work in retail, a number of school teachers or healthcare workers that are really looking for a change. And so all the skills from previous careers, professional skills, soft skills, just being able to multitask and coordinate, and even like classroom management or, you know, project management, those skills can lend well with the newfound tech skills that individuals learn through LaunchCode. So all those things come together and make, you know, a non-traditional candidate really stand out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Well, for any listeners out there that may be thinking about a career change, make sure that you reach out to Crystal. I mean, right now, and this is just St. Louis, this is regionally, Crystal, the last count was that we have about 70,000 open tech jobs, but only about 6,500 regional employers. You know, there is a big gap there, and it is truly one of the largest, fastest growing sectors is IT. So it is a great, great field to get into. Now, you guys also launched the Women Plus program, right, Crystal? So
yes,
what is that?
Yes. So Women Plus is a flagship LaunchCode education program designed to increase the number of women in technology, or people that identify as female can go through the program. And again, it's about building community and seeing others that look like you. We are all going through similar things, you know, being women or being, you know, the minority in this space sometimes. And so it's really important for women to support women. And just have a space that is dedicated to increasing the number of women in technology. And so that program is one of, you know, we recently had the Women Plus graduation, and it's always so great. There were moms and children, and we had, you know, lots of family support system. So again, it goes back to that support system and just building community and having spaces to show people, like, there is a chance. You do have a chance. There are, you know, groups and people that want to support. You're not
and you're not alone.
Right,
really
exactly.
Important, right?
There are so many people that are going through similar situations. Mm-hmm. And so.
Yes. So Crystal, I know you do. I'm going to move into something completely different here, but if you are interested, if you're an employer or if you're a possible candidate for the program, make sure you reach out to Crystal and learn more. But I know you do a lot of writing. You write for Entrepreneur Magazine, Read Write, Talent Culture, and you talk a lot about identifying teachability in new hires. You know, why is this important, and how do you go about identifying teachability? Because I do believe that is so important. If you're teachable, my goodness, we can teach you, right? But if somebody's not coachable, it's difficult at that point. How do you how do you identify the teachability piece?
Yeah, it's really through just how you approach a problem and looking at critical thinking and having the growth versus fixed mindset. You know, you really have to approach things different and with the critical lens, And be open to keep learning and growing. Like, technology is ever evolving. Yeah. And what we know is that what you learned, you know, maybe a year or two ago, is going to change. And so you have to really be open to adapting as the technology adapts. And so, like you mentioned, there are thousands of open tech jobs, but they aren't the jobs that were open 5 years ago. The tech jobs are changing, and we're seeing lots of AI opportunities or cloud jobs. Or
data scientists.
Yeah. And I was thinking too, like cybersecurity, and these are roles that are, you know, in high demand, but these aren't the technologies that are the jobs that were open just 3 to 5 years ago. And so it's so important to have that open mindset and growth mindset to continue learning, to stay, you know, on the cutting edge and marketable as things progress and, you know, new technologies evolve, that you're evolving with it.
Right. And guess what? In 5 years, there's going to be other things that we haven't thought of and other roles, right? So we just constantly have to stay ahead of the curve. And that kind of brings me to my next thing I want to talk to you about is offering professional development. And that's what you guys are doing. But, you know, you had a, there was a Talent Transformation Global Impact Report that you had cited in one of your writings, Crystal. And this really just kind of blew me away. The report stated that 45% of employees, only 45% of employees are satisfied with the learning and development programs in their field. However, 80% of companies believed that their programs were amazing. There's a big gap there. So only 45% of the employees think that the programs are great, but then 80% of the companies think their programs are satisfactory. You know, so what can we do about this discrepancy as you think about organizations and investing in their people? Because I think that's one of the most important things we can do as an organization and as leaders in our organization is invest in our people. Right.
So how can we
narrow this gap, if you will?
Sure. No, I think it's about just meeting people where they are to understand what they are interested in learning and also meeting, you know, how do we marry that with the business need and where the organization is going? And so keeping your finger on the pulse of how your professional development programs are working for your staff, what things are missing, and what providers are available to offer some of the, to kind of bridge the gap there. And then being flexible with in-person training, also online training, and offering different formats because, you know, I think people want options. And then they want to also, you know, continue to learn and grow with their professional career and development, but also, you know, maybe learn some things that are a little bit outside of what they're currently doing to position themselves for the future. So I think it's really about just having the open conversations and evaluating how are your professional development programs meeting the needs of your workforce.
Right.
That brings me to like the reskilling conversation. They've been having lots of just discussion recently about reskilling and helping your current workforce to skill up for the jobs of the future. As we've just discussed, the technology's ever evolving and we want to make sure that people don't get left behind. And so I think professional development, meeting the business need and also meeting people where they are to offer their reskilling options that work for everyone or try to make it work for as many people as possible anyway.
Yes, that's great. I love that. Because really, as you're talking about it, I'm just thinking about this. Your current employees already have the domain knowledge. They understand your business, right? Why wouldn't you help them skill up so that, you know, they can have the skills that you need in the business, right? Because if they walk out the door, all that domain knowledge walks out with them, and tribal knowledge is what we call it a lot. But, you know, there's a lot of benefit and there's a lot of value, I guess, is what I want to say, Crystal, in that. So it works both ways. So in 2022, I want to talk about this. You went through Focus St. Louis. I believe you were one of 28 people that were selected to go through that. I think to date they've had over 10,000 individuals go through Focus St. Louis. Shayla Ford is a good friend of mine. You probably love her.
Yeah, she is amazing. I was actually in the Focus Women in Leadership cohort 75. What an incredible opportunity to meet other women leaders in the community from diverse sectors and, you know, backgrounds. It's a really incredible program, and I would absolutely recommend. Transformational is all I can say in my own professional growth and the opportunity to learn more about myself, building personal boards of directors, just building out things that I needed for myself in that season. It was really an incredible opportunity.
Right. So if you're a listener and you're interested in that, you know, reach out. So, Crystal, I'm going to ask you this, and we're going to do a quick lightning round, and then we're going to talk about something extra. But for you, and I, you can share as much or as little as you want, but I mean, you're like everybody else. We all go through really hard times in our life and adversity. And I know you've been through adversity. I just want to know personally for you how, you know, and you're still through in some adversity, but how are you making it through? I mean, because people need hope, and they need hope that there is life on the other side of whatever it is they're going through. And this could be loss of a loved one. This could be a job loss. This could be financial stress. I mean, everybody has something, right?
Sure,
everybody has a story, Crystal. So I want to know for you, how do you make it through?
Yeah, no, thank you for asking, Lisa. So in 2023, I lost my son, and he was 25, and he passed away in an auto accident. It was absolutely tragic for me, and going through that is the most difficult thing I'll probably ever experience in life. But going through that, I'm naturally positive, and I just like really had to tap in and try and figure out how do I go on. I don't want to, you know, be sad and not have the same light and vibrant, you know, lifestyle. So I was really working to find a path to grieve well and, you know, honor the life of my son and also be there to support my other children. And so just really tapping into my faith community, my family, my colleagues at LaunchCo were amazing. And so just I'm so thankful for my support system that really rallied around to show love and support me through that. And then just finding also just ways to honor him and his life. And so it's not easy. It's something that I am continuing to work on and be intentional about. But it really just I want to keep living. And I know that he would want me to keep living.
Yeah. Well, when you and I met and you told me the story, you said, I didn't want to live my life without light, because you are a light. I mean, there's something, you know, when people meet you, Crystal, you are a very positive person. You just feel good when you're around Crystal, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I know it's not easy, but your faith.
Right, definitely.
Your faith has been a foundation for you through this, absolutely, right? And the support of others. So I appreciate
it. I will also say, yeah, there are always going to be ups and downs in life, you know, and as high and as great as things can be, you can also have low moments. But just knowing that the low moments won't last always. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just keep going and doing what you can, just getting out of bed, putting one foot in front of the other. And talking to somebody, you know, if you're in a really low point, call up, phone a friend, or find, you know, counseling services or whatever the case may be. But talk to someone and try and, you know, pick yourself up and try and find a way to keep going. It's so important.
Yeah, that's good advice too. Don't try and do it alone. Right. Don't try to do it alone and make sure you're talking about it. Well, I've got a little lightning round for you here. So, you know, you talked about your mom and mentors have been so critical and crucial in your career. When you think about the wonderful mentors that you've had, Crystal, what has made them special?
Well, I've had a number of really amazing mentors that were open and willing to, you know, take the time to listen and give me, wise counsel. I think it's so important to have, you know, people that have been where you are or can like see your blind spots, and just be authentic and, dedicated to pouring into you and, you know, helping you to get to the places where you're trying to go. And so I think just their authenticity and willingness to their generosity has also really been a key factor.
Yeah, servant. their willingness to serve, right?
Yes.
Well, okay. So I know you're a reader, and you may, hopefully you can think of one here, but you know, do you have for our listeners, do you have a recommendation for a top leadership book or a podcast, you know, a podcast besides Something Extra, Crystal?
Mm-hmm. I know Something Extra is definitely on my fave podcast list. Yeah. But one podcast that I listen to daily is The Morning Mindset. I'm not sure if everyone has heard of that, but it's about a 7-minute daily mindset, and it really helps to get my day started and get my mind aligned with the truth and the word of God, which is really critical as you go about your day. It's really important for me as a believer to get my mind and focused and listening to that. It really helps.
Morning Mindset. Okay. Well, I'm going to put that on my faves now because I love that. Do you have any favorite leadership quotes? Is there like something that you will quote just right off, you know, the top of your head often?
There are so many leadership quotes. I picked up one. It says, the next time you feel slightly uncomfortable with the pressure in your life, remember, no pressure, no diamonds. Pressure is a part of success. So I think there's always going to be that pressure, and you have to sometimes be uncomfortable and lean in. It's part of the growth. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, be not afraid to fail. And just go for it. And so,
and look what comes out on the other side. A diamond.
I know, something so beautiful. Yes. Out of all the hard hardships and things you may have to face, there's going to be adversity, but you know, you have to keep going, and there's beautifulness on the other side.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. I love that. I love that. Well, what about self-care? How do you prioritize this? We already talked about your biking. You get out on your bike, mm-hmm. you get out in mm-hmm. nature. Is there anything else that you would add to that?
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is to be intentional and put time on the calendar for me time, me-cation, whatever you need to do for you, and make it kind of non-negotiable. There's always things that are kind of vying for your time or attention, but it's so important to take time for yourself. And I believe, you know, I'm pouring out all the time and doing all these things for everyone else. And self-care is self-love, I believe. And so how I show up for me really matters, and it allows me to do, be there for other people. So I definitely have to block time out on the calendar to do things that I enjoy.
Great advice. And I love what you said, make it non-negotiable.
Yes.
Don't make it one of those things that if nothing else comes up, if nothing else urgent comes up, I'll do it. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. just make it. I call it like having a meeting with yourself. you got to put it on the calendar.
You've got to like really set time aside to take care of you in order to take care of others. And so,
yeah,
yes.
That's so good. Well, Crystal, this is called Something Extra. So what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
Oh, something extra. That's a really great question. I think just being people focused. Take care of your people, and your people will take care of your business. And so just being mindful of how you're showing up and how you're taking care of people, it'll like really serve your business, your organization, your leadership. I think at the end of the day, it's the people that really drive the boat or, you know, to make the operation run. And so you really have to be mindful and take care of people.
Yeah, that's great. Love it, love it. Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for stepping out of the conference to make some time with me here. And I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you, Crystal.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I've had, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.